Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Happy New Year. Yes, it's 2025 and we're back at it again, same as last year, same as the year before, and each month I'll record these videos for the men of my local church. And we do a monthly men's breakfast where we get together and we get to feast and we get to feed on the word and we get some fellowship, all the F's. And we get to build our faith, building men of faith. That's our goal for our men's group. And we do that, of course, through the Word, through understanding of Scripture, knowing who our Lord and our Savior is and what He has done, what He has done for us. And that is a tremendous, a fabulous thing. So let's just kick off now. I've got a New Year's message for you. And look, you could be watching this anytime throughout the year and certainly be blessed from it. But if you're watching it now, at the beginning of the year, I pray for you that you will see the insight in these words, that God would reveal Himself even more to you. So go to the book of Colossians for me, if you would. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. And while you're finding that, I love Colossians. It's a fascinating, a beautiful book. Paul writing this letter, he never had a chance to visit Colossae. And he writes, as we see here, you know, right back in the beginning, that he heard of their faith in Christ and their love for all of the saints. But he has to address some very important issues that have come up that he has also heard along the way. For the moment, we're just going to look at one verse and then we'll come back to it. Colossians 1, 26. Paul writes about something called the mystery. And this is not the only place we see it in Scripture. But the mystery which has been hidden from ages, hidden from generations, but now revealed to His saints. It's a good topic, the mystery. Before I get into that though, let's look at what we often get into, the new year. What's common? What is it that we do? What is it that most people do or at least think about in the new year? Well, they think about New Year's resolutions. Yes, it's interesting. I find I don't do it as much now as I used to. Certainly when I was younger, I spent a lot more time. I'd write my lists and I'd have my things, you know, lose weight or get fitter, get stronger, get faster. Spend more time with family, get to know the kids better, commit myself, you know, to a monthly date with my wife. Those types of things that I would do, that I would think about. What kind of things have you done in the past? You know, for me also, I want to quit smoking this year, finally. I would think about, I want to cut back on my drinking. And just for the record, as I'm recording this video, it's now been 19 years this year. Praise God, 19 years since I had my last drink. It was something that I had a tremendous problem with, a testimony for another day. It's been the same amount of time almost since I quit smoking. And these are not things I do now, but they're things that I've done in the past. You know, I want to save more money. I want to be able to, as I was once, I want to be able to buy my own house. These types of things. All good things, no doubt. I want to get a better job. Yes, all good things. But none of them eternal things. So if I look at that and I go, well, let's flip the coin. Let's see what's on the other side and look at maybe godly things, Christian things. Things that, you know, understanding the scripture which says, you know, draw near to me and I will draw near to you, the Lord speaking to our hearts. What things could we do that draw us nearer to Him? Maybe these are the types of New Year's resolutions we should be looking at. And things that come to mind for me over the years, of course, have been, oh, I need to pray more. You know, I need to get up in the morning and read my Bible. That was a hard one. Seriously, I struggled with that one for a long time. Eventually, I just gave it to God and prayed and said, Father, I need your help on this. I can't do it. But these are the typical things. Maybe we're thinking, you know, I need to serve in church. Maybe I just need to go to church on a more regular basis. Maybe my wife isn't committed, so I will be. Maybe it's that type of thing. There are many, but I have a suggestion for you, and I'm going to reveal it, open the book, open the pages today, and I hope, I have prayed and will pray that you are going to see what we're going through today, because I have a suggestion. And the suggestion is that for you to understand this mystery, which Paul is writing about here, the mystery once hidden, now made known through Christ. This mystery, folks, This is the foundation of our faith. It is important that we understand it without question. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to dig in. We're going to have a closer look, and I'm going to pray that God will open your heart and your mind, and Father, reveal this today if it's unknown. Turn back a few pages for me, if you would, into the book of Ephesians, also one of the letters of Paul. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, I'm giving you time to catch up here. Pause if you need to. Verse 12 says that at that time, you, this could be you as well, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's an interesting scripture. It doesn't really mean all that much just on its own, but there are three key phrases that I, maybe if you don't mind underlining in your Bible, underline these for me. Number one is without Christ, and your translation may be slightly different. Find the relevant words. The next one is strangers from the covenants. And also then no hope. I like the very beginning of verse 13. In my Bible, New King James, it says, but now in Christ Jesus. Maybe, let me just quickly read verses 11 through 13, and we'll see a bit of context for this. And I'm going to give you more, certainly. Therefore, of course, encompasses everything that went before. Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called so the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. Maybe just, if I may, please, just some quick Bible basics. I know that not everyone watching this will know this. So very quick, the circumcision, the circumcised, refers to the Jews. It goes all the way back to Genesis 17, it was. God's commandment to Abraham as a physical sign of God's covenant, his agreements. The covenant is the agreement with Abraham and all of his descendants was circumcision. And yes, they did it as adults. This was God's way in that time. That time. And the uncircumcised means the Gentiles, referring literally to everyone else, not those under the covenant promises of Israel through Abraham with God. Everyone else, which includes you and it includes me. And so we read here that verse 12, that at that time you, that's us Gentiles in the flesh, us who are not Jews, not Hebrews, we were without Christ. That means just without a Messiah, without a Savior. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Because we weren't among the children, we're still not among the children of Israel, we weren't included in the promises. This is the Bible basics. This is important context for understanding Scripture. Just a snapshot today. Continuing in verse 12, having no hope, and without God in the world. No hope without God. But now, I love that. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been, I love this, brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, in verse 14. Right there in the beginning, we see verse 11, therefore. And this brings everything before it into understanding. Everything. Let's just quick snapshots. Chapter 2 there, verse 1, speaks of us being dead in our sin. Verses 2 and 3 here. Well, we walked according to the desires of our flesh. And then we have in verse 4, but God, just like there in verse 13, but now. It interrupts the dialogue that's being given. It interrupts the pattern. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our sin, God made us alive. And this is something that I think, sadly, we don't hear too often in the modern church. Dead in our sin before we were made alive in Christ. So let me just explain that quickly. Best example I could think of, and I'll take it from Scripture. Do you remember Lazarus? Lazarus, friend of Jesus, Mary, Martha, Lazarus died. He heard that Lazarus was sick. He waited a couple of days. And then he went to Lazarus's tomb. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Question. Was there anything that Lazarus, being dead, could have done to help himself, raise himself to life? No, of course not. He was dead. Was there anything that Lazarus could have done at all to help himself? No. He was dead. And we see in Scripture time and time again this theme. John 3:18, Jesus speaking says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. He who believes in him, the Son, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." 1 John 5:12, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 speaks of us being like those who have no hope before Christ. And if I take a moment just to explain no hope, and what does that mean? I think of the Israelites in Egypt for 430 years. Joseph goes into Egypt. Joseph sold as a slave, but eventually becomes second in command. He brings his brothers, he brings his father, and from there, the nation of Israel future is saved. But 430 years later, the favor of Pharaoh is forgotten. God seems distant. They are lost. They are without hope. God is silent. And then hope comes through the message of Moses, God looking to redeem them and bring them out of Egypt. No hope, none for 430 years. That's hard for us to even get our heads around. Let's go back now from the year 2025, 430 years, how much life has changed. Imagine being in bondage and slavery for that amount of time. No hope. That's what it means for people to have no hope before Christ. But then here we see in Ephesians verses 8 and 9, by grace we have been saved through faith, not of works. Verse 13, but now, but now in Christ, you, me too, who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. So I want you to think. To cement this illustration, I want you to think of a time when you were without hope. See, for me, I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I can easily think back to times, many times, before Christ, where I had no hope, none. Not in this world, certainly not in the one to come, nothing. And maybe, you know, if you did grow up in a Christian family, when was that moment where you had that you know, epiphany, so to speak? The light bulb came on and you went, oh, wow. When was that moment? Maybe you haven't had that moment yet. Maybe today with this message, you can have that moment. And I want you to take some time as we come into this new year, not throughout the year, but as we come into this new year, just remembering that moment of when you had no hope. Come back to Colossians for me, folks. Chapter 1 again. Let's read a little more about this mystery. Colossians 1, 26, also we'll read 27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed it. God willed it to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, there was a time that this mystery was not available to all. It was hidden, literally hidden, for generations. Hidden from all. now revealed in Christ. And Paul's writing here to Colossae. I mean, the Greeks, dude, they loved a good mystery. You know anything about, you know, Greek sort of mythology and ancient Greek living? This is something I spent years, 4 years in high school studying. Ancient Rome, ancient Greek society, ancient Egyptian society. And it's a region that had, I mean, they had multiple religions here, multiple religions. One of the problems Paul had to deal with was the multiple religions, which is why he reveals and speaks in such manner. And they had many different ways to God, kind of like what we have now. You know, we've got the atheists, the agnostics, you know, no God. Oh, hang on, but we will be our own God and our own measure of morality in this time. Not that different now, except God's just been cast aside now. But God's plan, this is what I want you to understand. God's plan from the very beginning was to bring this mystery to the world, not just to his chosen people, Israel. And think back. Think back, if you would, the time of King David, King Saul, the Israelites. Yes, God's chosen people battling the Philistines, not God's chosen people. Was there anything? Was there anything that the Philistines could have done to make themselves God's chosen people? Could Lazarus have raised himself, woken himself up from the dead? No, no, not possible at all. The covenants of Israel were a mystery to them, hidden. Hidden to God by all outside. That included you and I being Gentiles. Now, though, this mystery has been revealed through Christ. In Luke 24, Jesus, speaking to the disciples, explains that the law and the prophets, they all point to him. And the mystery was being revealed through the unfolding of Scripture. I've got a note here, and I think that will take us a moment over time. I do want to include this. Let's just sidestep one moment. Go back a page, or at least it's a page in my Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Here we go. 1 verse 3. I mentioned this earlier. Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all of the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." I've got it highlighted here literally in my Bible. Faith, love, hope. Where have we seen that before? 1 Corinthians 13. And these three remain: faith, hope, and love, the greatest of which is love. Here we see it again. Faith, hope, and love. And our faith, it comes because of our hope. Our love comes because of our faith. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth." Have a quick look for me. Verse 17, he, meaning speaking of Jesus, he is before all things, and him, in him all things consist. Jesus holding all things together. Paul speaks to these Colossians who are all about the God, saying, no, it's Jesus. In him, he holds all things together. Verse 18, and he is the head of the church, the body, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all the things, that he may have preeminence, to be first, to be the only. Verse 23 tells us that if we continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard, that this mystery, this hope, is revealed and becomes ours. So what is the mystery? Well, there it is. It's in verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here's the answer. What is the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of our glory. Christ in us. And to the Greeks, this was unfathomable. incomprehensible, indescribable, impossible, impossible for them to comprehend until Christ revealed it. When God stepped out of eternity for that moment in time and walked among us and submitted himself. God, Jesus, who through all things consists, submitted himself to that creation to take upon himself the wrath of righteousness, so that the sin which so easily separated us from God could go upon him, and that cloak of righteousness would then come upon us. That God himself, because of that righteousness then upon us, would then come and dwell within. That's the mystery. And I don't know about you folks, but that gives me incredible hope for the future. And you want to know why I'm so passionate about this book? Why I'm so passionate about the Bible? It's the roadmap. I mentioned earlier that I spent all that time studying ancient Greek and Egypt, ancient Egypt and so on when I was in high school, and I read a fantastic book. I remember it was Howard Carter who discovered Tutankhamun's tomb in 1927, and how he started off as a boy, and he was a great sketch artist, and so he'd do sketches for, the Egyptologists of the time, and he walked into that then as a trade, and he found these hints towards this tomb, which had yet been undiscovered. And he spent 7 years following the clues as they were written before him. And he discovered the most remarkable, most incredible, as yet undiscovered Egyptian tomb of King Tutankhamun. And the thing that made it so special was no one there had ever come across it. Nothing was damaged, nothing was taken, nothing was spoiled. All he did was follow, in a sense, the steps, like a treasure map. This book is for us a treasure map. A treasure map to understanding Christ, God, in us. And we have to be mindful. This is what I want you to see for this year. We have to be mindful to understand that we now are part of revealing this mystery to others. And as Christians, we cannot keep that to ourselves. We just cannot. I get passionate about these things. I know. I hope you do too. Turn over to Titus for me. Just a little one. Timothy, Titus. Chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope that we have now for Christ, it's not just a mere longing. It's not, I hope this will happen. It is a certainty. Unshakable, immovable, impassable. It will happen. We see time and time and time again in Scripture that Christ's return, it's guaranteed, folks. It's guaranteed. And the certainty of that should give us then the strength to push through the trials, knowing that our future is secure in Him. How important, though, is that fact, that we think about that we give consideration to that? Because I know that for some that's all that they talk about, for others they just never talk about it. How much should we talk about such things? Well, I think the best example, again, from Scripture comes from, well, Paul's time in Thessalonica. So in Acts chapter 17, we see that Paul went and visited Thessalonica, the city which the letters to the Thessalonians was written, but he only spent 3 weeks there. And in those 3 weeks, it says there in Scripture that he taught each Sabbath to the Jews, looking to reveal Christ as the Messiah for 3 weeks. That's how we know it was 3 weeks. But the mob, the unruliness, and as Paul later wrote, that Satan's hand in that pushed them out. But then perhaps just months, maybe later, he wrote the first letter to the Thessalonians, and then a year or two later, the second letter to the Thessalonians. What I find really interesting in that is he speaks about what he spoke about in those 3 weeks, and he talks 9 different times about Christ's return. He was there for but 3 weeks, and he shared with them about the hope of Christ's return. And then in the letters, 9 times looked to clarify that. And yet we seem to get caught up so much in division on that. Yet all he did was clarify the message. I want to spend just a second, in a way that you may not think, but you'll see the relevance. For me, my hope is in Christ's return. Because otherwise, as Paul also said, all of this is meaningless. And look, from a natural point of view, if it's all meaningless, hey, praise God, he has brought me to a better life. But my hope is in the return, and that you be there with me. That is my hope. I remember when I was quite a few years ago now, younger. And I got my first management job. I had done, you know, trainee managerships and things like that, and was, you know, assistant manager in various places because I'd come up through the ranks. But there was a time after we'd moved here to Queensland that I got a job as a assistant manager in a very, very large retail store. Not just the retail store, but this was the hub for a national company. And I got the position there as the assistant manager. The thing that made it difficult was that for the first time ever, the salary was paid monthly. And I came in at a point where it's going to be 5 more weeks before I get my first pay. Now you can bet I'm living in hope. I'm living in hope that that paycheck will come. More so as my funds began to run dry. This is interesting. Listen carefully. I had to live in a particular manner to make sure I made it through to that first paycheck. In Matthew 25, Jesus gives this beautiful parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready for the return of their master, 5 were not. 5 lived in a manner which was fitting and ready and waiting for the return of their master, 5 did not. And we see here in Titus, actually from verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has now appeared to all men. You too, that grace, teaching us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking, here's the key, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And he says, speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Speak these things. Grace, folks, it brought us salvation. We were dead in our sins. There was not a single thing that we could do to wake ourselves up but God. And grace teaches us now a manner of living that we are to walk in. And grace compels us to look forward to Christ's return. This is our hope. And so now we see the mystery revealed. God, the God of the universe in us, in you, in me. The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead in you now. in you. Not nearby, not close, not outside, in, within. That's the mystery which the Greeks, which the Gentiles for ages could not conceive of, which is why they created for themselves idols and worshipped them. And now in our common world, agnostics and atheists, there is no God because it is too hard for them to conceptualize, to understand God in us. We couldn't even understand it until he woke us up. And then made through the Holy Spirit a new creation, alive in Christ. And my goodness, that is the hope that comes, the hope of his return. Now he in us soon will be with us eternally, forever, manifest in this place. That's got to get you excited. So how then, I ask, as we wrap up, how then, how certain are you of this, of Christ's return? How much do you long for that hope? And how does it affect your life today? Does it change, perhaps, how you live? Does it change, perhaps, how you prioritize your time? Maybe a good question to ask this new year, 2025. How can we change our focus more and focus more on the assurance and the hope of Christ's return? If Paul spoke about it in those 3 weeks and then wrote again about it time and time and time again to the church at Thessalonica, it was so important that they understood the hope. Let this guide your faith. Let this guide your actions. And here, just like the clues to Tutankhamun's tomb, we see here the unveiling of Scripture, the mystery revealed that God wants to dwell within and make change in your life, that you would walk worthy of the manner to which you have been called. And your hope then rests in his return, not on earthly things. Him. And that is, of course, why I and why so many and why Paul himself said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified. Because it is through him, with those arms stretched out wide on that tree, because of the blood of Christ, only because of that, that had made it possible for you and me, being strangers to the covenants and promises of Israel, that we now would have a Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus, our Savior. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining with me, and I pray you continue to join with me this year. And look for the guys in my local church. Make the effort. Make the effort to come to our men's breakfasts. Get there. Bring your paper Bible with you. Get involved in the fellowship. Get involved in the faith. God has something for you wonderful this year. I believe it. I believe it without doubt. And it's revealed through faith in his word. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.